Abby's already gone to class. I was going to ask her, how you doing? That's what she did. All right. Aaron, how's your parents? Parents, family, sister? Well, on the announcements, they talked about a guest speaker on October 22nd coming here. His name's Harry Jackson, and he's also going to be at a New Life Church at 11 a.m. on the 23rd, and he'll be here the 22nd at 6 o'clock, and also at a church called Living Fire in Seymour, Indiana, on a Sunday evening at 6. Says, these will be powerful meetings you do not want to miss. And Harry and Martha Jackson, they are founders of the Revelation of Jesus Christ World Outreach Ministry. Their Christ-centered gospel ministry began in 1984, where they traveled and ministered in churches across the United States. Their first missionary journey took them to a place in 1989 to the nation of Ghana, West Africa. And they've been to a lot of places, a lot of different countries. There's some miracles going on within their ministry. They're seeing the same miracles they see overseas ministry in churches across America. Some of the most recent projects includes a children orphanage and medical clinic soon to launch in Togo, West Africa. The Jacksons are originally from Detroit, Michigan, but now live in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, which is right there outside of Tulsa. They have two adult children, two grandchildren. Their home church is International Gospel Center of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so, Harry Jackson, there's this little letter if anybody wants to look at it and read it. They've done a lot of stuff. I didn't read it all. They've been to a bunch of countries. Anybody have any testimonies or anything? Everybody good? Everybody happy? Come on up here, Buster. You want me to come back there?
At a McDonald's, and if you're listening to people or just watching, and man, I knew he was different. He went up there and he was just getting his money, and he was just the way he was doing it. And so he's getting his stuff, and he's got a suit on and a tie, and he's about probably 70, and but he's doing real well. And man, I said, there's something about that guy. So I get my stuff, and I cruise over, and he's going over there, and he sits down. He has a cup of coffee, and he goes, I said, well, good day to you, sir. God bless you. And he says something, and he goes, well, I'm burying my mama today, and I have never seen anybody just the way he was. And he knew, and so I knew she was saved. And to just listen to him, and he had the word. He was a man of God. He had the word. And we just went back and forth on a couple of times. And I said, listen, I said, I'm going to come over and join you. I went over and joined him because we were going back and forth on some stuff. And it was a meeting that God put in place. And I will remember that till the day I die. And it was just a few minutes, but God, you know, you just got to be aware of those things, and wow. And what he said was, I've never heard it. He said, I'm going to get my mama's just perfect. You know, he knows where she's at. And he said, she's in a white dress and a red jacket. She's perfect. I want everything perfect. And he paid for the wedding. And that was an honor that he thought that was most important for him to honor his mother. And it was just so cool to listen to that. I have never heard anybody talk like that. And then some of the other stuff he said was, whew, it was good. It was deep. But thank you, Lord, for that meeting. And there's people out there all over the place like that. You just got to be and tap into it because God gets you there for those reasons. God bless.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Divine appointments. Me and Mariah had one. We stopped and got gas. Was walking in Save a Step here in Greenville. And there's a young man that we prayed for a whole lot that we drive past his house every day when we lived off Bulls Road. And he walking across the sidewalk, and I had my uniform shirt because I wear them all the time. That way I don't have to wear out my own clothes and wash my own clothes. But he said Mike there on it, and he said, yeah, hey, my name's Mike. He said, I need some money for gas and da-da-da-da-da and all this. And been married 25 years. My wife left, took half my 401K and all this and all that and all that. And so he shared some things, and I shared some things with him and give him truth. He was talking about an unpardonable, no sin's unpardonable. It's like blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that's an unpardonable sin. That's the only one. And I said, but what you're talking about, no, I don't think I'd do that. I wouldn't place my eternity on that. You know, you don't do that. And, you know, this guy decided he wasn't going to work anymore. Went and got a check. He gets $1,300 a month. You know, and I'm trying to work as many jobs as I can, take care of my family, but I bought him a little bit of gas anyway. Normally I would have probably given peace of my mind, but he needed to be loved on. He needed to be encouraged. And I just try to do what I felt like the Holy Spirit showed me to do. And that's, and life's that easy. The abundant life in Christ is that easy. Just position yourself. Sarah was asking the Lord to position us. And that's all we need to do is get into position to hear the Holy Spirit and then walk it out. Do it. Do what you can. Do what the Holy Spirit shows you to do. It's that easy. Listen and obey. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way. We don't want to carry things out. Sometimes things may seem uneasy, hard to do. But no, the blessing that's there just by being obedient to Christ, it's there. I'm talking about the things that, you know, only God can show you, only God can speak to you. You know, some things is obvious, you know. Don't lie, don't steal, you know. Them things are obvious. At work the other day, there was a brother in the Lord. He got a phone call while he was watching a football game. He didn't want to be interrupted, and he told him he had a whole bunch of people there watching the game. And he couldn't talk right then. He said, I lied to him. I said, don't lie, man. It ain't worth it. I said, how many people was on that football team? He's a big football guy, all them people. I said, they was there with you. You wasn't lying. Don't lie. See, sometimes you got to kind of work around to make it not a lie, huh? God is truth. God knows. He knows our hearts. We don't know another man's heart. Sometimes, but they got a good heart. You don't know that. You don't know another man's heart. Young ladies in here, young single ladies, you don't know another man's heart. No matter what they tell you, no matter what how they say they take care of you don't know. Okay? Young ladies, you got a boy come talk to you? Have him come talk to me. I got a woodshed. We'll take care of them. Me and Ben take care of them. See? Ben take care of them. We'll get a woodshed. We got a woodshed. The woodshed is where you do your discipline. Right? All right. Everybody doing okay? Got going down some rabbit trails, didn't you? All right, but you got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit, to listen to what He has for you to do, for you to take care of your family. I was when we was in Kansas City, I got to be blessed to hang out with a wise man, an older gentleman. He was a Baptist pastor in West Texas, and he lives in Kansas City. And we'd get together about there right before we moved back home. We was getting together maybe about every other week. We'd go out and eat supper. And we was talking about things, talking about the end times, taking care of our families and doing this. And I said, man, I would really like to be able to do this, this, and this. And I said, but I just can't right now. He said, don't worry about that. Just do what the Holy Spirit shows you to do, and the Holy Spirit will take care of you. That brought a lot of peace, you know. And then if you read the Word, where is it at? Psalm 91 says that God will set a table for us before our enemies, and all this stuff's going to go down, and you're going to just sit there and look at it, but it won't harm you or your home. How about that? God take care of us, because Jesus wins, and we win too if we stay with Jesus, right? And we know there's a lot of stuff going on in this world. We know a lot of stuff, there's a lot of bad stuff could come our way. There's a lot of people saying a bad stuff's coming our way. And then I've heard that term like fear porn. And all it is putting fear in you. You know, a lot of people have a product to sell, and that's why they're doing it. Or a lot of people want to look like somebody, and that's why they're doing it. They want to act like an expert. And all they're doing is repeating what the other person said. So don't get caught up in that. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will show you what to do. Amen. Okay? That's for me as well as you. I wanted to share that. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. We'll talk about following God here. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bless your word, to wash us, to cleanse us. And Father, I just ask that you would allow, the young ones, the baby Christians, those that are seasoned in the Word, to everybody be able to receive from the Word here today, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you've done during worship. We thank you for the healing, the touch, and the deliverance, and the joy, and the strength. Just give us, we just ask that the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus, will give us a peace of mind to do what you've called us to do, day by day, night by night, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4 says, it is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him and hold fast to him. So if anybody ever asks the question, why should I serve God? It's right there in the Bible. It tells you to. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. Serve him. In that text, that chapter, it talks about idols and serving other gods. But God says, serve him and only follow him. And there's blessings that come through that. And there's curses that come for not doing that. It also talks about no matter who it is, whether it's a prophet comes in and does this sign and wonder and says, let's follow other gods. No, you're not supposed to do that, and you're supposed to kill them. Doesn't matter if your family member, your wife, your husband, if they lead you down to follow other gods, then according to the book in Deuteronomy, you're supposed to kill them. Purge the land. If you hear of a town where they're doing these things and they're worshiping false gods, you're supposed to go there and wipe everybody out, all the livestock, burn all the stuff. Don't take none of it. Burn it and never rebuild there again. I think God's serious about worshiping false gods, don't you? We got the blood of Jesus to cleanse us, to wash us. It's not us, not up to us to take somebody out like that, right? Jesus set us free, cleanse us, wash us. But God is still serious about false gods. He don't want us to do that. And as we grow in Christ and we learn how to worship Him and study in His Word, God will reveal to us, reveal to you, how to worship Him, how to live your daily life. You know, there may be something in society that just goes on, and then, well, that's the root of that's a false god. We shouldn't be involved in that. See, God will show you that, because the Holy Spirit and the anointing is your teacher. Right here in the Word of God, it says that. The Holy Spirit and the anointing will teach you. And the same, if you're born again, the same Spirit lives inside of you as the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And that Holy Spirit will teach you if you listen. And the Holy Spirit will never, ever speak nothing to you that would contradict the Word of God. Okay? So, all them people that get out there and get weird and wacko and have their own thing and it's contrary to the Word of God, they're wrong. How do I know? Because they're contrary to the Word of God. That proves they're wrong. No matter how right they think they are, they're wrong. Now, people worship different people. That's fine. Just because somebody worships different or somebody that believes different does not mean that they're wrong. Doesn't mean you have to agree with that. Doesn't mean you're wrong. You know, the way we worship, what we worship, how we, what God done here this morning here at Faith Harvest, that's, you know, somebody else that doesn't believe that, they can't come in here and say we're wrong. Or we can't go to somewhere else and say they're wrong. If everything lines up with the Word of God. I remember years and years and years ago, approximately 22 years ago, before me and Jenny got married, and she worked at a car lot, and she brought this young man to church. Okay, brought this young man to church in the barn. So that there in itself is a little different. And so this was a smart young man, very educated young man, and he writes her a letter, I guess the following week at work. And she shows me what he wrote down, and I'm reading it, and he's saying everything that we didn't do in church as a, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, you know what? That what he's saying we didn't do and how and the order that we didn't do it, that looks exactly like the bulletin of the Disciples of Christ Church I grew up in. Looks exactly like he went through a church bulletin and wrote down exactly what we was doing wrong because it wasn't like how the church he went to worshiped. And I'm sure the people in that church love Jesus, and they're not wrong in how they worship. And we weren't wrong in how we worship. People are different. There's different flavors, right? But the Holy Spirit and the anointing will teach us. What will it teach us to do? Follow God. Not serve false gods. Follow the one true God. Right? Because it is the Lord your God you must follow, and Him you must revere. Keep His commands and obey Him, serve Him, and hold fast to Him. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. This is talking about humbling yourself and turning from your wicked ways. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." Okay. We're up to two things, humble ourselves and pray and seek my face. Okay, now we're up to three things, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, now we're up to four things. Yeah. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All right, how's God heal our land? If His people are called by His name, humble themselves, that's one, pray, that's two, seek His face, that's three, and turn from their wicked ways, that's four. How do we turn from our wicked ways? We repent, ask God to forgive us, and teach us how to not do it no more. Right? Simple as that. So that's repentance. That's turning from wicked ways. And when you get tempted by that, you don't do it no more. Okay? If you get tempted by that sin and it used to take you 20 minutes to fight it off and now it took you 15, that's a victory. Okay? Next time it only take you 10. Then it might only take you 5. Then you overcome it. It doesn't bother you no more. When it rears its head, you can cut it off real quick and not do it no more. That's a victory. Don't beat yourself up. Don't, you know, let's get them victories. Overcome it. Because we are overcomers. Because God has made you overcomers because of Jesus. And the overcomers will be dressed in white. I like that part. Overcomers be dressed in white. It sounded real good in this Mark Farner song that I've heard before. Because we'll have new clothes, new body in heaven, and good stuff, and, you know, streets of gold, and all that good stuff. Dog lovers, I got scripture that proves outside of the dogs was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay? Just to set it straight. That's what the Bible says. Right? All dogs go to heaven. That ain't what my Bible says, and that ain't what your Bible says. It says outside of the dogs was weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know if that's talking about a literal dog or what. I don't know. I didn't study that. I shouldn't say that since I didn't study that. But that's what it says. All right, so where we at? Got to humble ourselves because pride comes before the fall, right? Pride's puffed up. You know, there's a difference of being proud of heart and then, like, being proud of where you live and honoring your country and honoring your town. And you know, that's different. You know, there's a thing, you know, taking honor in your work. You know, not that you puff up and proud and haughty and you're the best thing since sliced bread, and, you know, it's kind of like perfect people scare me, you know what? They just really scare me because they're liars, because there ain't no perfect people, right? But, you know, there's a difference between, you know, a proud, haughty spirit and then, you know, taking honor in what you do, you know, having honor in your parents and you know, proud of my mom and dad. Well, that's not, you know, a pride that would be haughty and puffed up and, you know, but that's honoring your parents, which is the first commandment with promise, right? So, humble yourselves so you can be proud of your country, proud of your church and your pastor without being a prideful, haughty person. You know, there's a difference there. If I researched the Strong's and all that and the Greek and the Hebrew, I could probably define that a lot better. But that ain't where the Holy Spirit showed me to go today. But if you want to do it, you can look it up. Strong's, it's one of them thick concordances that would tell you where the root of this word that we use in our language, how that translates to the Greek or Hebrew, that how the Bible was translated from, it will tell you that definition. That's what a Strong's Concordance is. So, we humble ourselves, we pray. Just praying for our food, or blessing our food? No, we're praying and seeking God for whatever the Holy Spirit shows us to do. You know, praying for our pastor and praying for protection on the East Coast, praying for our country leaders, however, you know, praying for God to cleanse our land, to protect us, to that our leaders, regardless of who they are and what they are, that they become righteous and discern righteousness and righteous judgment, right? And we seek God's face. Seeking His face, that's part of it. Seeking Him. Because He is where the answer is. He's our provider. He's the one that's going to sustain us. He's the one that's going to heal us when we break down. And He's the one that's going to set our minds straight when our minds get all weird and glitch and have electrical issues and whatever. Okay? He can flip the breaker and reset it, and because Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and he's the one that brings the peace of mind. And I remind myself of that a lot as I'm going through life and things happen, and I get thinking and my mind gets wandering, and you know, I got four girls I'm protecting, and my mind can get stupid sometime, and I have to ask for the Prince of Peace to be there to cleanse my mind, and that I don't walk in fear, and I don't want nobody to hurt them because I don't want to kill somebody. But I will do what I got to do to protect my family. Oh, Christians shouldn't think that way. Christians don't do that. Now, God says you take care of your own, you protect your own. I got a little story for you. We was in prison, and this young man was in there. He was actually in the prison. We were just there visiting, ministering. And he had all these black things sticking out of his face. I'm, you know, ever long, I'm thinking, what is that? Well, he had piercings. And so his holes didn't grow up. He would take the plastic forks that they eat with and break the little prongs off and stick them in there so the holes wouldn't grow shut. So I say something about, you know, not tolerating the devil and casting it out and getting rid of it and, you know, not petting it and making it your friend. And he come up to me afterwards. He said, I thought we were supposed to love our enemies and vanquish the enemies with our love. I said, God don't want you to tolerate them. He wants you to cast them out, get rid of them, you know. If a dog comes in your yard and bites you, you have legal right to get rid of it and run it off. You don't want to mess around with it. You don't want to sit there and pet it and play with it. If it's going to hurt you, get rid of it, right? I know there's dog lovers here. I do not apologize, but I love dogs. They have a place. Okay, you got a mean cat. You get rid of it. You got a mean cow, mad cow disease. You get rid of it. Don't eat the meat on that one. You get rid of it. Don't tolerate it. Don't tolerate a devil. Get rid of it. Come on, brother. All right, where are we at? Humble yourselves. Turn from your wicked ways. Let's go to, and it starts out, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Well, how do you know you're one of God's people? Let's go to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. This is how you know you're one of God's people. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Okay? Saved. Salvation. Deliverance from sin and death. That's what Jesus done for us, right? He come to destroy the works of the devil, and the works of the devil is sin and death, right? So if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, y'all want to say that? Say it together. Jesus is Lord. Let's do it together. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. And if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is it that simple? It's that simple. Bible said it. Jesus said it. Paul wrote it. It's in the Word. Believe. Well, believe is more than our little American, I think that's right. You know, believe is clinging to and hearing to, and I don't know the big amplified version, what I call the wordy version, the Strong's definition of it, but it goes more than, yeah, I think that's right. It's more than that. You hold fast to it, cleave to it. You know that's true. You know it and you know her without a doubt, and you won't let nobody talk you out of it. is you're right and you're justified in Jesus, right? So if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You will be saved. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You know, and sometimes we get thinking too much and we say, well, somebody was in a car wreck and their tongue got tore out. Would they have, could they? God knows them. God knows where they're at. Yes, they can repent and be with Jesus, and even if they don't have a tongue. I think so. So we follow God. We humble ourselves. We turn from our wicked ways and know you're God's people because you are saved, washed in his blood, because you confess Jesus as Lord and you confess it with your mouth. You believe it in your heart, right? Well, I've done that way back when, and I don't remember what date, and you got to have a date. No, you don't have to have a date. You know when God changed you because you had a changed life, right? Amen. You used to do this, and now you don't do that no more? That's the fruit. You'll know them by their fruit, right? We may not be called to be fruit inspectors, but you know them by the fruit. Something's obvious. You know, Christians don't lie. Followers of Jesus don't lie. They don't steal. They don't murder. They don't serve false gods knowingly. Huh? Because believe me, God's working on me. He's cleansing me. I'm not a finished product. I've got room to grow. I need to grow. That's why I need to humble myself and seek his face that he can show me. But I also know that I am a child of God because of Jesus' blood. And I do know that when I was approximately around 19 years old, I don't even know exactly how old I was, but I think I was 19, and I was reading my Bible, laying in my bed before I went to sleep, and the Holy Spirit showed me to get down on my knees and pray beside my bed when I was a child. And then when I did that, just that obedience of getting down on my knees, and then I started having a memory of all this sin, stuff I'd done wrong, and I started asking forgiveness, and it just like turned on the fountain, and I was just, oh, God, forgive me of this, forgive me of this, forgive me of this. And then I had this revelation. I don't know right from wrong. Forgive me if everything is wrong and I think's right, it's not right. You know, I wanted to cover it all. That's when I got saved. Being led by the Holy Spirit to get down on my knees and pray. It was just me and God. Nobody led me in a prayer except God. That's when I got saved. That's when I changed. Then I would, you know, I'd read my Bible, try to read about a chapter a night before I go to bed. That's how I got saved. See, reading my Bible and praying. Went to church growing up a little bit here and there, you know. Good church, good little country church. And then as I was reading my Bible every night, praying, God showed me to go to church. Because the Bible says, don't forsake the fellowship, you know, with believers. So I just went up where I went to church as a kid, went there and started going to church. And you got to change life and you're young and, well, next thing you know, they start having you doing something in church. Next thing you know, I'm a deacon there in the church. Now, let me tell you something. I was too young for that. But they didn't think so. Maybe all they needed is somebody breathing to be in that position. I don't know, but it was good, and I learned. Then a friend of mine took me out to youth group. I was 21 years old, going to a youth group with a friend of mine. And met Mark and Donna. And I was like, wow, these people are real. They love Jesus and they're real. And I've been hanging out with Mark and Donna ever since. That was approximately September the 6th, 1989. Approximately. All right, so know you're God's people. Are you God's people? I would say probably in this church today, you'd probably know right now if you are or not, right? Because it's thick in here today, wasn't it? Thank you, Jesus. It's good. Good worship. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, if you want to. It says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest, because you have ignored the law of your God. I also will ignore your children. Hosea. This is God talking. And if you looked at Hosea and looked at that whole chapter, it's he's going to be back on, don't you serve false gods. I mean, that theme's right there again. It says, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. Okay? Because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you as my priest, because you have ignored the law of your God, and I also will ignore your children. So the actions we do affect our children, right? There's generational blessings, generational cursings. We want our children to receive our blessings to flow down, but the curses, like the generational curses, we want to cut that off in the name of Jesus from our bloodline or whatever, you know? And that's just as simple as asking God to do it. Jesus, cut it off. Cut off the sins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam, sins of mother's side all the way back to Adam, father's side all the way back to Adam, in the name of Jesus. Power of the blood. Simple as that. Because God's blood is powerful. Jesus' blood is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. The power of the cross is powerful. The power of the Word of God is powerful. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have knowledge, you are not rejected. We're talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of not serving false gods. That's what he's talking about. You know, not just being educated in the educational system. You know, this is the information age where you can look up anything and everything, and you know, there's a lot of knowledge out there. This is talking about the knowledge of God. That's what this is talking about. I feel it's talking about the knowledge of God and obeying him and learning his ways and obeying what God tells you to do, right? And what the Word says to do. Because knowledge can also puff up, right? Is that what the Word says? So we don't want to be destroyed by lack of knowledge. See, that's why we're here. That's why we fellowship with other believers. It's kind of like, who was it? Dick Rubin said that, you know, you see that stream or water flows and them rocks are round. It's because them rocks have been hitting each other. It knocks them sharp edges off. And as we fellowship from one another, whether it's here in church service, that's definitely the fellowship we need. And also just fellowshipping with other believers in daily life and routine, you know, Bible studies and things like that. You know, you kind of share things with one another and what God's shown you, and it kind of knocks them rough edges off, and you get to be a smooth stone that's good for something, like taking out a giant or something. You know what I mean? Giant slayers. That's what you are. You're giant slayers. Like David killed the giant with the stone, right? Let's go to Romans 5. Some peace and some hope here in Romans 5. I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith in our heart, right? Remember, we have faith in our heart and confession with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and you are justified and a child of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through wisdom, also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. See? Christ died for the ungodly. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, the blood of Jesus will wash you, cleanse you. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as though one man entered the world and death through sin, and this death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like that of the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God, the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Jesus had to come and live that perfect life for us to be reconciled to God. Since the fall of man through when sin entered the world from Adam and Eve sinning, right? And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. That's us being made righteous through Jesus. Moreover, the law entered, the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's peace. That's peace of mind. When you know that your eternity is good because of who Jesus is. Not of us, but who Jesus is. And we confess Jesus our Lord, and he cleanses us and washes us. That brings peace of mind. So we are to follow God, humble yourselves, turn from your wicked ways, know you're God's people, you have knowledge, and you are not rejected, and you have peace and hope. Because Jesus is king, and Jesus wins, and we win too if we stay with Jesus, right? I love you. That's what Jesus, Holy Spirit, showed me to share with you all today. I went ahead and read the whole chapter of Romans 5. It's his word, and anytime you read the word of God, there's a washing takes place. There's a washing your mind, your body. So, Jesus, we thank you for your word. We praise your name. We thank you for your peace, the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding, that no matter what's going on in life and in this world, that we can just humble ourselves and remain peaceful with you, Jesus. And we thank you for that. And I ask your blessing upon everybody here, that the joy and the strength of the Lord would go forth, go with them, that everything they put their hands to do would be blessed in the name of Jesus, that you would prosper them and increase. And we thank you, Lord. And you, we ask you once again here this day, like that was brought up in worship, that you, we're asking you to position us. And we ask you to show us how to position ourselves. That way you can position us to hear your voice, to hear clearly, and give us the grace and the strength to obey what you tell us to do. Because we know you would not tell us to do anything contrary to the Word of God. We praise your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Anybody wants prayer, be happy to pray with you. There's other people here that can pray with you. Everybody here born again? If anybody's not, I'm going to take you to the woodshed. No, I'm going to invite you to spend time with Jesus up here at the altar. Because he's the only one that can wash you and cleanse you. Well, I love you. You're dismissed. I have a hard time saying goodbye. So church is over. We'll pray for you if you want to. Love y'all.